This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and welcome you into the Retirement Brew with John Blanford, Katie Anna's retirement strategist for Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, MatthewJames.com. That's the website. And the phone number, 366-8366. Once again, 366-8366. Starting in January, you could actually see more money in your paycheck, or perhaps not. The IRS is out with new tax brackets to help tamp down that inflation. Here's CNN's Vanessa Yurkovich.
This could be significant for a lot of Americans. Every year, the IRS readjusts the tax brackets, and they've widened all of them this year. So let's take an example. For example, if you were making $45,000 in 2023, your tax bracket was 22%. This year, because of the widening of those brackets, you're only going to be taxed at 12%. So that's significant savings for everyday Americans.
And that certainly sounds like good news, but the one thing that isn't changing is how, and how, quite honestly, hasn't changed for decades, how income triggers retirees to pay tax on their monthly Social Security benefits. It's estimated that more than half of those receiving government retirement checks next year are going to pay tax on what they get. Is there a way to mitigate this?
Yeah, it's all about, you know, structure and strategy on and how to withdraw efficiently. So ideally, you know, if you're married or single, there's a true standard deduction whenever you're taking Social Security. It's not the advertised amount, because the when you add Social Security in, that's a calculation called provisional income that lowers the standard deduction. So if you keep your income outside of Social Security, if you're married, let's just say $22,000 or lower, then none of your Social is going to get taxed, and none of that IRA withdrawal or even none of that pension is going to, you know, get taxed. But that's it's not like 21, 22 each thing. That's total. Not with Social, but the thing is, you know, let's say if you have Social Security income, let's say $45,000, and you're taking out $19,000 out of your IRA, then you won't pay taxes on the IRA or the Social Security. So, but let's say if you're receiving some dividends or interest on a brokerage account, like a joint account or an individual account, we have to add that in, factor that in too. So then that's less money you can pull out of your IRA and not pay tax. So ideally, we just have to look at where you are and then what's the, you know, how much money you plan on pulling. And then from there, let's look at what sources that we can pull from and keep the tax threshold. Maybe if we can get it at zero, or if not, we can get it something pretty close to it.
You know, being able to minimize the taxes, it's right there in the name, Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. While the brackets are changing next year, possibly because it's an election year, and they're trying to – we'll get into that a little later on. But while that is a factor, you still have to look at Social Security taxation, which, like I said, has not changed since the 90s. You know, the IRMA, you know, Medicare, the look back on that, that's not going to change as well. So while you may be saving in taxes right now, as far as the income you're bringing in, you could still be find yourself paying more down the line. So you need to still be aware, and you still need to have a proper tax strategy in place. That is where the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management comes into play. So 366-8366 to start developing that strategy, or going to the website at MatthewJames.com. Now, when it comes to being properly polite, it is easy to make mistakes. Plenty of etiquette rules have changed in the past decade alone, and sometimes what you think might be polite, it can actually backfire. Reader's Digest recently posted a list of polite behaviors that many people secretly dislike, including leaving detailed voicemails, saying no worries — I'm very guilty of that one — waving someone through a four-way stop, and sharing a lot of personal information right away. So let's talk about financial habits. What are some habits financially that you see pre-retirees and retirees making, the habits that you see them making that turn out to be harmful to them?
Well, look, you know, the thing is that I'm not seeing as many as you would, you know, that you know, you would think generally, mm-hmm. as some, maybe the, some of that's younger, because people that are going towards retirement are generally more mature about their finances, about money. Now, look, we do see some every once in a while, and we help them, you know, kind of get out of the rut that they're in. And ideally, we just have to look at those situations. But I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people throughout the country that have, that maybe have bad financial behaviors, you know, bad financial maturity. Not everybody's like that. I mean, a lot of people that come in our office are very financially mature. They, you know, they have a lot of free cash flow. They have minimal debt if they have any. So that's a good sign. You know, we're not seeing many people come into doors with, you know, credit cards that are maxed out. I mean, look, every once in a while, probably once every 6 months or so, we'll have somebody come in that has maybe $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 worth of credit card debt. Look, those things happen, and it's a matter of helping them build out a plan. And the thing is, it might be a situation where it's not both, you know, parts of the both spouses that are creating these problems. It could just be one, and sometimes that's like the last one that came in. It was one of them, not both, that were, you know, charging a lot, and the other one's trying to, you know, get ahead. So it's a matter of, okay, let's build a plan, look at what we can do. Now, what we do see as well is that in the event when someone's single, maybe they lost their spouse, maybe they had their last kid moved out, and then they potentially could start collecting things, aka hoarding, to fill that void, and that's an emotional thing, which they need finances to be able to hoard, so then they start doing excessive draining on accounts. And so we see that time, you know, from time to time to again. Like one time we had someone come in our office, and then their kids came in with the lady, and so we were going over the details of what's been happening. And so she was in denial of the amount of money that she's been spending, and you know, the kids came out and said, "Mom, I mean, like, you have three storage units with junk in it, along with everything in the house, and none of it you need." And it's, you know, like, we see things like this, and unfortunately, it's an emotional issue that puts a strain on you financially because of the excessive money that you've pulled out. I mean, this one particular person, she had to pull excess money to pay her taxes and everything else, along with, you know, moving things from the storage units and moving houses, and she ended up jumping into that third IRMA bracket, which she didn't realize, you know, like, hey, look, in 2 years from now, your Medicare Part B and Part D premiums are going to skyrocket. Mm. And I look, that's a big expense. And so it's, you know, it's good to have an understanding of how all these different things work together. You know, it's not just, oh, let me take this money, but how is it going to get taxed? Or, you know, how is your health insurance going to get affected? You know, your Medicare premiums are going to get affected moving forward in the future. So we have to look at everything as a whole. And, you know, if you plan on spending money traveling or other things, it's a matter of, you know, keeping everything within a certain, you know, reason, your own personal budget. I mean, everybody's in a different situation. Some people might have more financial constraints than others. Some people can spend as much as they want, and they'll still never run out of money. Obviously, that's a lot easier life to be in, you know, a lot less stress. But ideally, everybody's in a different situation, so we just have to measure and see. But for the most part, almost the majority of people that we come in are very financially mature, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. Yeah. And so that's you know, it makes it easier for us. But we do have people that come in every once in a while that we have to help them, you know, kind of basically fix something that happened in the past, whether that was short-term past or like longer term. You know, it could have been happening years ago, and they're still trying to get ahead. But that also could be a hindrance on them being able to retire if they haven't retired yet. So that's something we have to address. But now, look, we see people in all different, you know, shapes and sizes as far as, you know, if they're, you know, they're in their 30s, they could be in their 40s, they could be in their 50s, 60s, or 70s, or even 80s. So we cover a lot of different age groups. It's not just people that are retired. Ideally, we help a lot of those individuals out, but we have people that are business owners. We have people that are higher earning professionals that have a W-2. We have people that are looking at getting out into starting their own business and how to build it, the correct tax structure, how to have the right legal structure set up. So we help people, we counsel them on what they should do to lower their tax liability, to be able to look for expenses and other deductions, how to save more money, basically build more wealth and save a lot of taxes at the same time.
And that is where Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management comes into play. Perhaps you've made some bad financial habits, and maybe you're a little bit ashamed of it. You know, unless you have that conversation, you know, you don't really realize, you know, the situation that you're in and how to maybe course correct if need be, or you may find out that you're in better shape than you thought, but you don't know till you make that call. 366-8366 to speak with John and the team. It's 366-8366, or go online to MatthewJames.com. You can find out more about John and the entire team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management right there on the website. We've heard a lot of differences of opinion lately when it comes to the Fed's handling of interest rates. Here's another. Investment strategist Donald Luskin told Fox Business that rate hikes are making the economy stronger.
It appears from all the evidence, like the more the Fed tightens, the faster the economy grows. I know that's insane, but that is what the evidence shows. I know it defies intuition, but I think we need to educate our intuition in the light of the data. I think one of the things that we may discover here is that we went through about 15 years after the great financial crisis of zero interest rates and low inflation and jobless recoveries and all that stuff. It could be that we've broken out of that and we're back into an era of productivity-led growth, the likes of which we've just forgotten about because we were in secular stagnation for 15 years.
Certainly seems counterintuitive, but I mean, the numbers seem to be backing it up. John, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? Are we entering a new era when it comes to growing and preserving our retirement savings, or is this more of the same?
Well, look, I mean, we're definitely in a different dynamic of where we were even 15 years ago because we have even more debt on the books. I mean, the government still needs to print more money. We have the market itself not buying government-issued bonds. You know, that's something that we have to look at because of the interest rates that they're proposing. But the you know, the government's in a pickle. The American consumer, we've had the American consumer has collectively has crossed the $1 trillion mark in credit card debt. So during COVID, that went down to a significant low, around $400 billion. Now it increased because of inflation. So as we see more inflation, we're seeing you know, and the inflation that we're seeing, you got to look at, there's a published inflation that, you know, basically the White House is controlling, and then there's real inflation. I mean, you know, you look at the cost of different things that we consume, from things that we, you know, consume as like eat and then consume as and use day to day. I mean, materials, building materials or clothing materials or automobile things, you know, and from there, look at, we have to look at, you know, how does that affect in all these different areas? I mean, Christmas trees, you know, hey, it's Christmas tree season. Mm-hmm. You know, we went out and bought a tree. It's a little bit more than what we paid last year. And you know, in the year before that, we got to look at how that drought has affected, you know, a lot of different crops over the last, what, 3-4 months. We haven't been getting that much rain. I mean, lately, look, we've been getting a little bit of rain. But look at what's happened. I mean, I knew several months ago, sugarcane farmers all across Acadiana, even north of Acadiana, we're pretty nervous, and there's other, you know, other things too. But look at the Mississippi, the Chaffalai Basin, how low it is right now. Vermilion River's low. I mean, so that takes into effect on cost. I mean, the you know, some areas, some people that were, I was talking to some people that were getting Christmas trees from their vendors, they had to go even further up north just to get trees because of the you know, the trees that they were pulling didn't, you know, they didn't get enough nutrients. They didn't get enough rain water coming in to help grow them over the last several months. I mean, it was a hot summer, it was a dry summer, mm-hmm. And you know, how do those things affect? But we have to look at also what happens to the market in the event we have a reverse market crash. And what does that mean? Well, the Fed starts dropping rates significantly, they're getting pressures, and then what happens to the housing market? How does the you know, now pricing on homes skyrocket again, and then other things skyrocket? So if you look at what happened in Venezuela with I think it was Turkey, Greece, there's a handful of other countries, and I talked about it a little bit last weekend, but looking at what happened with them on how that affected them on the interest rate environment and inflation, and you know, what kind of a financial bind did that put the citizens of those countries and even that country itself in. So we just have to look at, you know, where are you at with your personal economy? How is your investments functioning? What do you have it invested in? What is the purpose of the money? How can you eliminate a lot of negative drag? Are you using a long buy and hold strategy, or are you using a tactical strategy? How does your tax strategy work? What are you doing about healthcare cost moving forward in the future? So, you know, whether you're working or retired, we got to look at, you know, what opportunities of lowering your tax exposure is, you know, that's a key thing, because every dollar you save in taxes is equally as important as every dollar that you grow in the market.
You know, just as there are winners and losers in the stock market with any transaction, there are threats and opportunities with all this financial news. Obviously, interest rates not great for, you know, taking out a home loan or credit cards, obviously. But, you know, maybe some higher yielding CDs, things like that. Just knowing how to take advantage of whatever may come down the line, whatever situation there is, and using it to your favor. That is where having someone like Acadiana's retirement strategist on your side comes into play, knowing when to buy, when to sell, when to hold, things like that. John Blanchard and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you with that to make you as financially bulletproof as possible as you get ready to enter into retirement. 8366 is the number, and MatthewJames.com is the website. Yeah, many people, you know, they come to you asking if they can retire, and John, sometimes the numbers say you can do so early, maybe even before 62. But I have to wonder, early retirement, does that take extra planning? What are some of the challenges that people might face if they clock out for the last time before, you know, 62?
Yeah, number one, it's how are you going to cash flow it? How are you replacing your paycheck? So if you plan on retiring, let's say before 59 and a half, not just before 62, but before 59 and a half, what's the withdrawal strategy? Are you going to, you know, try to pull money out of your IRA? Are you going to use a 72T? Are you going to, you know, pull money out of an old 401k? There's a provision that allows you to do that, and you don't have to pay the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Then we have to look at, do you have a brokerage account that you can pull funds for, and you can, you know, realize long-term capital gains tax treatment on pulling that money? Because you can receive filing joint right over $110,000 of long-term capital gains that you can realize without paying taxes each and every year. So ideally, it's a matter of having a strategy of where you're going to withdraw money from, how much you're going to withdraw per year, and then, you know, from there, when to turn on the other sources of income. Now, if you still have to do a lot of tax mitigation planning, you know, we have to take that into account for, you know, as well. Now, the other thing is healthcare. I mean, typically that's the golden handcuffs where people don't leave a job until 65 because they're worried about, you know, healthcare benefits. But using the current Obamacare subsidy, that gives you an opportunity to, you know, keep your income within certain thresholds. And then, you know, it really benefits you if you're married or if you're married with dependents. Single, it really doesn't, you know, help you out as much. Or that much. But in general, what we have to look at is, you know, what kind of pricing do you get from the exchange? Is that coverage adequate? And so those are the things. It's just, number one, so what are you going to cover? How are you going to cover your cash flow? Where are you going to get the money from? How are you going to reduce penalties and exposure from excessive fees and taxes if you're withdrawing early? And then number two is, what are you doing about healthcare moving forward? So it's, you know, we have to have a big picture of where you're getting the money from. Maybe you've leveraged out with some rentals, and you have rental income coming in that you're using that as income. So it's taking pressure off of maybe your IRA and your brokerage. So ideally, it's just looking at, you know, what can be done. Can you retire? You can retire at 40 if you want. It's a matter of structuring your assets in the right area. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you sold a business and you sold it for a pretty nice multiple, and then you had an option to reinvest that money. But did you pay the taxes to reinvest it, or did you do have a tax-deferred strategy that you could reinvest that money without having to pay taxes up front? So ideally, we just have to look at the situation you're in and figure out, okay, what is the way to do it? You have a lot of our clients come in, they bring their children in or their grandchildren, and then what we do is we run a plan for them to show them how much money they need to save to get to a certain dollar amount of investments so they can retire early. And then from there, it's like, what type of bucket do you place your investments in to be efficient, to have an efficient tax-advantaged retirement?
You know, we talk often on the show about the 20, 30 years that you may be spending in retirement. If you factor in an earlier retirement, the numbers change, you know, 25 to 40 years. You could feasibly be spending more time in retirement than you did in the working world. You just want to make sure that the numbers align. Not to say that it can't be done, but you want to sit down and do a little bit of planning beforehand, because I don't think unretiring is really out of necessity is in anyone's cards out there. So, you know, if this is something that you're entertaining the idea of, it's almost imperative to do that old measure twice, cut once sort of situation. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can weigh the pros and cons, make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted before you do, in fact, step out of the workforce for a long time. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, you just continue to work for a little bit longer, or maybe the numbers align and you can go ahead and retire as soon as possible. But you don't know until you have that conversation. 366-8366. There's a guy named Bill that's been retired for about 2 years, and he has chronicled his journey so far on TikTok. He admits that it took him a while to understand this realization.
When I first retired, I was constantly thinking, man, that dude's retired. He stays busy. He's cranking along. He's working hard. Good. That's his retirement, not mine. And what I found was I was trying to live the retirement of someone else. And the real tragedy of that is, for most of us, retirement is our first opportunity to live life on our own terms. That living someone else's retirement is just extending an old life that I was so eager to get out of and move into the retirement life.
Now, obviously, stepping out of the workforce and retiring is a big transition. Do you have clients that have struggled with this transition, and how did you go about addressing it?
Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, really looking at what you want to do, what's your goals, what's your purpose, you know, making that transition from, you know, getting up, showing up at 8 or before 8 or after 8 every day to go to work and then punch off having that 5-day or 4-day work week or maybe a 6-day work week and then, you know, completely shutting it off. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, your thumb muscles are getting pretty worn out from twiddling around, you know, and it's a matter of, okay, what – you know, is there projects around the house? I mean, typically there is for most people.
Yeah.
Whether you want to, you know, you have a lot of cleanup to do, or you want to remodel the kitchen, or you know, repaint the house, or you got some touching up to do in the baseboards. Maybe you want to start planting a garden in the backyard. Maybe you want to start building some furniture. Maybe you want to just spend more time fishing. You know, or you want to go camping. Everybody's in a different situation. You know, but our, you know, our minds are, you know, a lot of us have been brought up in a way to where, you know, it's work, and it's hard for people to shut that down. But you got to look at, you know, retiring at a good time to where you can go achieve the goals and have the, you know, do the things that you want to do, because we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what our, you know, our health is going to change, or if it's going to change and how soon it's going to change, because ideally, you know, we could plan to retire. Next thing you know, you have a massive stroke or have another, you know, medical issue, and then you're, you know, you're hindered from even doing anything, from all the different travels and all the other, you know, the goals that you want to try to reach, the projects that you want to complete, you know. So don't think that you have to stay at work, you know, for the remainder of your, you know, your working career, your lifetime, because there's, you know, we have this beautiful world that we have an opportunity to go see. So making that extra dollar, you know, shouldn't really be that big of a priority if you have adequate enough savings. So it's a matter of putting a timeline down to be able to retire, go reach your goals, you know, enjoy your life, enjoy your time with your family and your loved ones and your friends. Don't think that you have to stay married to the job just because you've been, you know, working forever. That's all that you know. And, you know, we see people often decide to turn it off as far as the work, you know, the breaker box, to stop working and to really be, you know, retired. And the next month or two later, they either have a major medical condition, or maybe their spouse does, or another family member, or maybe they pass away, and then they don't get to enjoy, you know, all this money they save that they got to really go out and do things. So take advantage of it early. You know, we're not, you know, the one commodity that we cannot buy is time, mm-hmm. and for the most part. So ideally, we can't just go get more, you know, have an extra 20 years of lifespan. No, we need to take advantage of it now and really enjoy it. So hopefully, you know, you're in a good financial position to make a great decision on enjoying your retirement.
You know, everyone's retirement is going to, it should certainly look different. And we want to make sure that the retirement that you've envisioned is the one that you do. You're not living it for somebody else. You're not keeping up with the Joneses. Again, unless your last name is Jones, that's not something that you should be doing. But figuring out what it is that you want to achieve in retirement and then bringing that to the table, bringing that conversation, you know, to the table when you sit down and you speak with the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. Not to say that the vision that you have on day one is the vision you're going to need to have for the 20, 30 years, but it's a place to start. And as those visions change, as your goals and your passions perhaps change in retirement, being able to revisit the plan, go back to it and redevelop it. It all starts with that first step, taking the time to have that conversation with Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, figure out where you are right now and how to get to where it is that you want to be, not where you think you other people think you should be. Again, 366-8366 is the phone number, or MatthewJames.com. Now, this is something that many retired couples don't realize until it is too late. After a spouse passes, the survivor, typically women, they typically switch from married filing jointly to filing single on their taxes. But that can move them into smaller tax brackets of standard deductions, and they'll likely face a higher tax bill as a result. What kind of tax planning can people do to avoid this so-called survivor's penalty before the passing of a spouse, John?
Yeah, I mean, survivor penalty, widow tax is another one. I mean, the thing is that whenever you go from married filing joint to single filer status, the, you know, your taxes go up significantly, especially the different types of income that you show in your tax return create higher rates. I mean, we've seen people where, you know, what the same exact income, total dollar coming in, but they had a 442% increase in their tax bill. Not double, 442%. So, like, we, you know, we see these things, and, you know, it's pretty irate on how that works out, and you know, it's singling out single people, and they don't get great tax treatment. And so it's all about how that dollar is going to get taxed. And so planning, to reduce your tax exposure while you're married is one thing, but also reducing the exposure while you're, you know, whenever you become a single filer, that's another thing. And then, but also reducing the tax exposure whenever that money gets inherited by your children, that's another thing. So we have to look at all different three phases of life, you know, considering if you are currently married. If you're single, then we have to look at two different phases while you're here and then when you're gone. But ideally, we got to look at all of them. And so having a plan, having a structure, using the current tax rates to our advantage, where we can, you know, we can reposition money at a lower tax cost. And so that money can grow and be distributed tax-free in the future.
And when it comes to tax planning, it's not just about the money that you know, you're paying out to Uncle Sam right now. It's also about the way that the tax structure is going to change, whether that is something that the government does and almost certainly going to do, you know, in 2025. At the end of 2025, when the Trump tax cuts sunset, at that point, the taxes are going to go up over the course of your retirement, probably going to go up as well. But also when things like this happen, when life happens, when there is an event like the loss of a spouse and all the numbers change, it is something that Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, as I've said many times here, it's right there in the name, can help you navigate through that. Not just navigate through that, but also account for it and start doing plans ahead of time to make sure that you get to not get caught unaware by the widower's tax, the survivor's penalty. Give a call and start putting that plan together. 366-8366. Former NBA great Shaquille O'Neal has had great financial success both on and off the court, but he laid the groundwork for that success long before his playing days were over.
79% of retired athletes, when they're done playing, have zero income. Zero income. I didn't want to be part of that stat, so my parents really pushed education. There's a great story about how I spent $1 million in the first day because I didn't have, you know, financial knowledge. I get $1 million. I had no idea what state income tax was, and I was looking on my report, and I asked my guy, who the hell is FICA? Because they had took so much money from me. But I went out and bought two cars and bought a whole bunch of stuff, and I had, you know, end up owing the bank money. So I had to learn financial literacy, and I had to learn it very quick.
Shaquille O'Neal, thankfully, course corrected very early in his career. He now has 3 degrees in education, including a doctorate. He understood that he had to prepare for what was coming when the basketball paycheck stopped. Now, pursuing a PhD in finance is likely out of reach for most of us, but seeking the help of a financial advisor can be a great start. How long before someone's retirement, John, should they begin that process?
Well, look, I mean, ideally, like, the more education you can get, the better. I mean, the amount of books that are out there that you could read to get, you know, more knowledge. I mean, there's so many ways to grow. I had an opportunity to speak at UL last week and talk to students about, you know, being educated outside the classroom and the amount of books and resources that are out there, you know, from, you know, whether it's personal finance, whether it's leadership, it's, you know, how to run a business, you know, how to be a better father, a better spouse. You know, there's so many different things, or better mother. You know, there's a lot of good information out there that we can, you know, that's out there. It's out on our fingertips. I mean, we can download it on our phone. We can get it in one click. We can get it shipped to our house. I mean, there's so much information, things that you can watch on YouTube. You know, there's so many resources that are out there. There's virtually no excuse why you can't go look at and read. You know, if you spend all your time binge watching Netflix, where, you know, and you could have taken that same time and learn, you know, a new thing to generate more revenue, more income, learn how to, you know, real estate works, learn how investments works, learn how the tax code works, you know, understanding, you know, finances from an accounting standpoint. How does a balance sheet, you know, function? How does, you know, looking at a profit loss report, you know, building out a list of goals and then how to achieve them. You know, there's all these things that we can go and do. It's just a matter of having access to it. And, you know, Shaq was right. I mean, it's not just basketball, but I mean, football and baseball. And, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't have good financial management. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their self-image of themselves was still living paycheck to paycheck, not having the abundance of money. So just like when people, you know, win a lottery, I was watching an interview on Dave Ramsey. There was a guy who called in, won $1 million off of a scratch-off. In 5 years, that money was gone. Mm. And so bad financial management. But he gambled a lot of it away. I mean, he did buy things. He paid off a house that he purchased. He paid off a vehicle, or he paid a vehicle cash. But then he didn't have good financial management. And he went back in gambling, and when he got a scratch off and won. So it's like that wasn't talent playing cards, you know, at the end of the day. But we have to look at making good decisions. I mean, I know someone that has won the lottery twice, a significant amount of money, and filed bankruptcy 3 times. So, you know, it's some people are getting, you know, a lot of money coming in the door, and mm-hmm. it's going, you know, directly out. We see a lot of guys in the oil and gas industry, young guys that are not used to making, you know, 8-10 grand plus a month. And next thing you know, they're getting an F-250, getting a side-by-side, buying a boat and all these different things. Well, because they're, you know, they're working these hitches, coming back with these big fat paychecks, and they don't understand good financial management. I mean, the ones that are making the money are the retailers that they're supporting. And, you know, that's, look at, I was in the industry of, in the motorcycle industry. So we would meet people like that. We'd see that a lot. And I mean, they were good customers because they were spending a lot of money, you know, that's, you know, but that's how it works in a lot of different cycles, a lot of different industries. So it's a matter of having a lot of good financial maturity, a great self-image of you, not just, you know, your self-worth, but even your financial self-image. So these are the things that, you know, people have to try to increase and elevate and get more educated on as well.
You know, it's also about thinking about the big picture down the line. You know, there will come a day when you retire where the paychecks stop coming in. So you need to have money saved. You need to be able to not bet against your future self, but, you know, plan for that, plan for those times, tucking money away. It does take a little bit of, as John said, financial maturity, a little bit of emotional discipline when it comes to that. And if you, you know, are self-aware to know that you might need a little bit of help with that, well, that is something that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Manager can help with as well. Start developing that plan. You know, as we talk about at the beginning of the year, every year, you know, having that gym accountability buddy, having that personal trainer, same sort of thing, you know, being able to hold you accountable. Again, not strong-arming you into doing X or Y, but being able to have that plan to come back on. And, you know, if you want to make those withdrawals, just see if you need help with that financial maturity. There's no shame in that. But, you know, the step one is reaching out and speaking with John Blanchard and the team, 366-8366, where, you know, he and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Manager, that can help educate you, impart their insight with you, and help you as you navigate these unknown waters that are known as retirement. 366-8366 or MatthewJames.com. Now, the 2024 election is less than a year away, and a new survey by Nationwide found that 45% of investors believe the results of the presidential election and congressional elections will have a bigger influence on retirement plans and portfolios than actual market returns. John, what are your thoughts here? Should clients be worried about something that honestly is kind of beyond their control?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's worry is negative goal setting at the end of the day. So we just have to look at the reality of what's going on with the market, making sure that we're using the right strategies, the right tools in the event that the election does have negative repercussions on the actual market. And look, there's a lot of people that believe that it will. So according to your risk tolerance, we should, you know, invest that money the correct way to lower the negative exposure that you potentially think you will see. And then from there, look at how to find other opportunities in the market and using the correct strategies to grow your account values, and then also lower your tax obligations, because that's something that people are very nervous about too. They're worried about the market, but they're worried about, you know, how much taxes are going to see. We're going to see an increase after the elections, because our government is in a position where they are needing more revenue, and they're not collecting enough in certain areas, some may say. But ideally, we got to look at these untouched, untaxed investment accounts, such as IRAs, 401ks, SEP simples, and these type of 403bs. These type of accounts have never been taxed yet. So we have to look at, you know, what how to reduce the tax exposure, the tax liability on this money while you're alive, maybe, you know, whenever you become a single filer and whenever that money transitions to the next generation. So we have to be pretty proactive on, you know, our planning for reducing our tax exposure in the future.
Here's the truth of it, and it's something that people, I think we're all aware. Over the course of your retirement, you know, 20, 30 years, there's going to be multiple elections. Sometimes the guy you want or the person you want is going to win. Sometimes the person you want is not going to win. You don't necessarily need to have a knee-jerk reaction and you know, pull your money out of the market or put your money out of the market, because that is something. The market response is far beyond our control. A lot of people were concerned when Trump took office and they did withdraw their money from the markets. And what did we see as a result? We saw the Trump bump where the markets actually responded very favorably. The same sort of thing with Biden. A lot of people were cautious about that. Now, again, it's not to say do something that is uncomfortable with your risk tolerance, but if you don't know what that is or, you know, how to calculate that or how to make those moves, that is where, again, having that discipline, having that accountability buddy on your side, like John Blanchard, like the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you out with that. And, you know, should Political changes happen, and that results in financial changes. That results in tax increases or market underperformance, I guess, is the way I'm looking about it. You know, being able to be financially nimble, to tactically make those moves as it dictates and not just use those knee-jerk reactions, but actually respond to facts and data. Again, Matthew James, Tax and Wealth Management, that is what they're here for, to help you out with that. Just take that first step. Give a call. Schedule a time to speak with them. 366-8366. That's 366-8366. Online, MatthewJames.com. Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.